Well, good morning, everyone. Let's open with a word of prayer this morning. Well, Father, what an honor to gather in your name. And thank you for this family that can meet once again. And Lord, help us to be open to you, Holy Spirit, as you would lead us in these moments of looking at your word and praising you and honoring you and learning from it, and then for praying. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Well, today, I better get started today. We got a long psalm. You see these notes go on and on and on and on. But we got 52 verses in this psalm, and it is a great psalm, as all of them are. But this is about the covenant with David, about the covenant. Remember, God gave him the covenant when he wanted to build a temple and told Nathan. Nathan said, go for it, David, this is a great idea. And then later the Lord said, Nathan, you spoke too quickly. David can't build a temple. His hands are bloody from war. But I'll build him a temple that'll last forever. And in 2 Samuel 7:12, it says, when your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you, who will come from your body, will establish his kingdom, and so forth. And your house and your kingdom shall be established forever. Before you, your throne shall be established forever. So that's the Davidic covenant. Now, remember, David was 1,000 years before Christ. And between 1,000 years before Christ and Christ, we had some significant problems in Israel. Because of their idolatry and immorality, the northern 10 kings were captured, taken into captivity by Assyria. And 140 years or so later, the southern 2 tribes of Judah and Benjamin were taken captive into Babylon for 70 years. So this psalm is, we don't know when it's written, but the crux of it is, we start out 37 verses praising the Lord for the covenant. And then we look around to see all the problems around us, how terrible everything is going, and all of a sudden now we say, Lord, where have you been? Where have you gone? You're not keeping your covenant. We got enemies and we got all kinds of problems. And how many Christians you know today are saying the same tune? Do you really believe Jesus will never leave you nor forsake you? Oh yeah, I believe that. And they go right on and spend all the time telling you why the Lord has forsaken them, right? I mean, in a sense. Because they're so concerned about all the problems they've got and everything else, and this can't be the love and the joy and the peace, because if the Lord really were with me, I wouldn't be going through this. Now, some of you are laughing either because it's never heard of that or because you do it. I don't know which. But I'll let you figure that one out. But at any rate here, we have, so the psalmist starts out praising the Lord, and then he's going to get to the point where he starts questioning the Lord. Then he gets to the point where he's blaming the Lord. But he does finish pretty well, although this is the last psalm in the third volume of Psalms, so we always have an appendage to that last psalm, so we have a double amen at the end of this psalm. The first amen, I believe, is for this psalm. Second amen is for all the psalms in the third book of Psalms, so to speak. So with all of that introduction, let's look at Psalm 89. We begin... Well, let me just tell you a little bit about some words here. Mercies. Mercies 5 times. Faithfulness 6 times. And so we're going to sing about his faithfulness today. But faithfulness 6 times. Covenant 4 times. Loving kindness a couple of times. And then we'll have a whole... The personal pronouns in this psalm are outstanding. You'll see the personal pronouns relating to the psalmist. And you'll see the personal pronouns relating to the Lord. And so you have to keep in mind who's speaking here when we read through this, because one is crying out to the Lord and the other, the Lord is speaking to us. So let us begin by singing this old hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness, O God, my Father.
Great is Thy Faithfulness, O God, my Father.
As thou hast been the Amen to that?
Amen.
Psalm 89, remembering the covenant with David and sorrow for lost blessings. A contemplation of Ethan the Ezrahite. Verse 1, notice now will be all of these are about God's faithfulness and all the good things about the covenant, pretty much for the first 37 verses, and then it changes. But listen to how it begins. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. Does that fit you? Are you? Am I? With my mouth will I make known your faithfulness to all generations. Are you? Am I? For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Your faithfulness you shall establish in the very heavens. Now, let's just end it there because we can't get any better than that. I have made, now the Lord speaking, I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn to my servant David. Your seed I will establish forever and build up your throne to all generations. So there's the covenant to David. Now we have hope, and the heavens will praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness also in the assembly of the saints, or the congregation of the saints, or the meeting of the family in the saints. So here we are this morning. I pray that we are recognizing his faithfulness. Has he ever not been faithful to you? Now verse 6, 7, and 8 are fantastic. I guess they all are. For who in the heavens can be compared to the Lord? What question? What can you see that God cannot see? He can see everything. Well, in this context of this verse here, I don't think he can. We can see our equals all around us. Can God see any equals around him? I don't think so. There aren't any equals around God. So to that extent, he can't see those around him who are equal. But we are. We're in one family. For who in the heavens can be compared to the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened to the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be held in reverence by all those around him. O Lord God of hosts, who is mighty like you, O Lord, your faithfulness also surrounds you. Reminded of that great phrase at the same thing in Micah, at the end of Micah, the last three verses, three or four verses in Micah, it says, who is like God? Who basically what? Who can forgive the iniquity and so forth? Well, I'll just read it to you. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in mercy. He will again have compassion on us and will subdue our iniquities. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. You will give truth to Jacob and mercy to Abraham, which you have sworn to our fathers from days of old. So that's from Micah. But again, O Lord God of hosts, in verse 8, who is mighty like you, O Lord? And the answer to that, of course, is what? Nobody. Nothing. Your faithfulness also surrounds you. Now, notice all of these pronouns here in this section. It's you, 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 your, you, your. So this is all speaking of the Lord. Your faithfulness also surrounds you. You rule the raging of the sea. When its waves rise, you still them. You have broken Rahab, or Egypt, in pieces as one who is slain. You have scattered your enemies with your mighty arm. The heavens are yours. The earth also is yours. The world and all its fullness, you have founded them. The north and the south, you have created them. Mountains Tabor and Hermon rejoice in your name. You have a mighty arm, strong is your hand and high is your right hand. Verse 14, a beautiful verse. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. How do you like a God like that? Who died for you, that you could be with him forever? Wow. Mercy and truth go before your face. Capital Y, your face, the Lord. Blessed, now here's us. Blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. They walk, O Lord, in the light of your countenance. Is that right? Are you? Am I? In your name they rejoice all day long. I don't know, about 2:30 yesterday afternoon, I was rejoicing. You know. Maybe you fill in every hour of the day, I don't know. But they rejoice in you all day long, and in your righteousness they are exalted. Amen to that. For you are the glory of their strength, and in your favor our horn, our strength is exalted. So important. It's in his strength. It's not ours. Satan says, try harder. Try harder. Maybe you can do it. No way. You'll never do it on your own. Failure after failure after failure, and he'll tell you, you got to try harder. You got to try harder. You got to try harder. Hopeless. If you don't depend on the Lord, you're not going to accomplish anything spiritually. For our shield belongs to the Lord and our King, to the Holy One of Israel. Verse 19, then you spoke in a vision to your Holy One. Now we're talking about the Messiah here, I believe. And said, I have given help to one who is mighty. Now here back to Joseph again. I've chosen one exalted from the people. I've found my servant David with my holy oil. I have anointed him. Remember when Samuel anointed David? With whom my hand shall be established, also my arm, all these my's in here, my arm shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not outwit him. Are you a child of his? You think that applies to you? If you depend on him, it does. If you say, no, Lord, I can handle this myself, maybe you'll find out it doesn't work so well. The enemy shall not outwit him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. I will beat down his foes before his face and plague those who hate him. I like that. Verse 24, but my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name his horn shall be exalted. So that fits you. That fits me. His faithfulness, his mercy, and our strength is exalted in his strength. Also, I will set his hand over the sea, and his right hand over the rivers. He shall cry to me, you are my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. When's the last time you cried out to our Father? In terms of, you're my Father, my God, the rock of my salvation. Also, I will make him my firstborn, the highest of the kings of the earth. My mercy I will keep for him forever, and my covenant shall stand firm with him. So his covenant with you is forever. You're saved forever. Not just to the end of your life, or not just for, you know, you got a 48-month warranty on this one and then you're out. My covenant shall stand firm with him. His seed also I make to endure forever. Now that is really, the seed we read in Galatians is really capital S, and that's Jesus Christ, right? That's really his seed, singular, in the Galatians account there. His seed also I will make to endure forever, but we're little seeds too. So we endure forever as well, I think. And his throne is the days of heaven. If his sons forsake my law and do not walk in my judgments, like Solomon being told, and others, if they break my statutes and do not keep my commandments, then I will punish their transgression with the rod. Anybody been chastised this week? And their iniquity with stripes. Nevertheless, my loving kindness I will not utterly take from him, nor allow my faithfulness to fail. What a verse that is. My covenant I will not break, nor alter the word that has gone out of my lips. Once I have sworn to my holiness, I will not lie to David. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. It shall be established forever like the moon, even like the faithful witness in the sky. And we have a Selah there. In other words, what do you think about that? Pausing. Now we go into kind of a problem phase here. But, I don't like but after all those great things that were said, right? Anytime you see but in the scripture, if it's been bad, it's really a good word to have. When it's been good, it's not a good word to have. But you have cast off and abhorred. You have been furious with your anointed, God speaking. You, or speaking of God, you have renounced the covenant of your servant. So here the psalmist is looking at this as though, since things are going so bad for Israel, that it's God's problem. It's God's fault. He's renounced his covenant. And you may think that at times, man, through what I'm going through, I don't think God is with me on this one. Again, I come back to Romans 8:28. Are you going to be the first one that's disproved that verse? I don't think so, but sometimes it seems like you are, doesn't it? Man, this can't be working together for good. I know the Bible says it will, but I can't see any good out of it. You have announced the covenant of your servant. You have profaned his crown by casting it to the ground. You have broken down all his hedges. You have brought his strongholds to ruin. All who pass by plunder him. He is a reproach. We have that five times now in this last section. Mocking. He is a mocker, mocking to his neighbors. You have exalted the right hand of his adversaries. You have made all his enemies rejoice. You have also turned back the edge of his sword and have not sustained him in the battle. So because of their immorality and their idolatry, they, instead of five of them chasing 1,000, one of the enemy chases them, they think they're chased by 100 or whatever the number is, right? It all depends whether you got God on your side or God against you. Because in Deuteronomy it says, if you're obedient, I will bless you and curse your enemies. If you're disobedient, I will curse you and bless your enemies. Powerful. Verse 44, you have made his glory cease and cast his throne down to the ground. Well, this is serious stuff here. The days of his youth you have shortened. You have covered him with shame. Now again, Selah, what do you think about that? Now he asks some questions. How long, Lord, will you hide yourself forever? Will your wrath burn like fire? Remember how short my time is. For what futility have you created all the children of men? What man can live and not see death? Can he deliver his life from the power of the grave? Selah. The last few verses, Lord, where are your former loving kindnesses? You ever feel that way about the Lord? I hope not very long, because that's not right. That's not from the Lord. That's what Satan would say all the time. Look at you. I don't see any loving kindness coming to you from the Lord. Look what you're going through. You must be a terrible sinner. Sounds like Job's three friends, his miserable comforters. They were convinced he has committed the sin, the reason he was going through it, he was going through. Lord, where are your former loving kindness which you swore to David in your truth? Remember, Lord, the reproach of your servants. Lord, think of what those enemies are doing to me, how they're mocking me. Because I am your servant. How I bear in my bosom the reproach of all the many peoples. Every believer will have reproach. In this world you will find persecution, right? Of some kind. Now, with what? With which your enemies have reproached you, O Lord. Are we better than our Lord? We aren't going through even a fraction of what he went through, but we do have reproach from the outside. With which your enemies have reproached, O Lord, with which they have reproached the footsteps of your anointed. Now we go all the way to the end, to the Messiah here. And we have seen the Messiah reproached, seen him brutally put to death on the cross. That was man's trying to do the terrible thing, but that was ended up being the best thing in the world, right? For him to die for your sin and my sin. And then we could have an amen there for this psalm. But we have a little appendage on here, verse 52. I believe it could be the end of this psalm, of course, but I think it's also for the end of all the psalms in book 3. Blessed be the Lord forevermore. Amen and amen. So we have come out of the basement here at the end anyway, right? Father, we thank you for this great psalm again, and it gives us such examples of how to praise you and to live for you and with you and according to your covenant with your people. And yet at times, Lord, we see we don't have the whole picture. We don't see the end yet. All we see are governments failing and lawlessness and all of the perversion and all of that thing getting worse and worse and worse. And we say, Lord, where are you? And we want to go back to when it was better. But Lord, that's not what the scripture says. It's not going to end when the world gets better. It's only going to end when you come and do away with all the sin in the world. And that's right around the corner, Lord. And so help us to be faithful to you. Help us this morning to pray as you would lead us to pray, Lord. And may we really be thankful for the covenant that you have made with each of your people, for purchasing us out of the slave market of sin, taking our sin upon yourself, Lord. You who knew no sin, made to be sin for us. You took our sin, shed your blood, your precious blood, in payment of God's wrath for each of our sins, past, present, and future. And thereby we can be forgiven because the penalty has been paid substitutionally by our Lord and Savior. And Lord, that didn't stop there, but you put your righteous robes on us. You have covered us with your righteousness forever. So Lord, we so thank you for that transaction, Lord. The victory over power of sin and death, of the resurrection. And Lord, we're coming up on that right around the corner again this year as we want to remember that. And so Lord, help us to be ready for that and to experience that and just to be what you would have us to be. So guide us now into this time of prayer in Jesus' name. So let's pray. Let's just close with this little praise song here. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty. Father in heaven, how we love you. We lift your name in all the earth. Let us sing along.
Father in heaven, how we love you. We lift your name in all the earth. May your kingdom be established in our praises as your people declare your mighty words. Blessed be the Lord.
And Father, we all say, blessed be your name, who reigns forevermore. Oh, Lord, help us. Help us to be the witness today you would have us to be, Lord. This is a special day you have given it to us. Maybe this is our last day. We don't know. Maybe there'll be tomorrow, maybe not. But give us just what you would have us today to enable us to do what you would have us to do. And may we do it, Lord. Help us. I thank you for this precious family, Lord, and individual needs we cry out for, and we cry out for those who are going through a deep time, even as the psalmist would see, where are you, Lord? We cry out for those who have extraordinary pain, Lord, and physically, and Lord, spiritually is probably the biggest problem that anybody has, is if they're right in the spirit, nothing else really matters. But yet there are kinds of afflictions and things that come along that are very difficult. Lord, help us to be your witnesses. In Jesus' name, amen.